Okay, great. Yes, I'm on. Perfect. So, really quickly, why not turn to the person next to you, say hello to them, maybe introduce yourself. If you're new or you've not met them before, let's be a welcoming church this evening. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob and I kind of look after under 25s here. So if you are a new student or you are fall in that category and you haven't yet spoken to me, please do before the end of the evening. It would be great to connect with you. But tonight we are going to be continuing our series that Rosie started last week, this whole idea of focusing on the upper room, the time that Jesus spent with his disciples just before he was betrayed and just before he went off to die on the cross. We're doing this because as a church over the summer, we felt a particular call or a sense that as a body, we need to be coming together more, that we need to be making more time for intimacy with God and our relationship with him, as well as creating a space to draw close to Jesus and the words that he has to tell us about our relationship with God. So tonight, we're going to continue to do that. And we're going to do that by looking at the particular section in John that we find in John 13, verses 31 to 38, and then again in John 15, verses 12 to 15. So the words are going to be on the screen above me. But if you want to follow along in your Bibles, please feel free to do so. So that's John 13, starting in verse 31. When he, being Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glory him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, I now also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And then John 15, verses 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down their life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's just pray together as we open up God's word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can freely be here this evening to hear from you, to learn more about you, and to be challenged by what it is that you want us to take from this place, God. So help us to have open hearts and open minds to the work you want to do here this evening. In your name, amen. So this evening, as we are gathered in this room, as we are gathered together, I want us to imagine that we are in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. I want us to imagine that we are hearing the words that Jesus is speaking firsthand, and our reactions and those and of those around us are as if we have just heard this teaching for the very first time. Jesus had assembled us all in a room, ready for the Passover meal. But while the evening meal was in progress, an unusual turn of events have begun to take place. Now, more and more recently, Jesus had been speaking about being betrayed. He had even gone into the wilderness for a few days, so long that we wondered if he would even make it to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, we really didn't know what to make of this. There had been a great crowd with palm branches that went out to meet him on his eventual arrival in Jerusalem, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then there was that time a few days ago when he declared in front of all of those people That is, that the hour had come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And the crowds asked, who is the Son of Man? And to be honest, it's a very good question that I think a lot of us were thinking the same thing. It definitely has been an interesting few days. But here we are now in a room on the top floor, just us, Jesus and his followers, and we're gathered for the Passover meal. And I thought it would be all very straightforward, all very normal and usual. But no. Already, Jesus, the one who we're meant to be following, learning from and taught by, has washed all of our feet. I think we felt bad when he was the only one willing to do it. We really need to stop seeing ourselves as being above each other. But to be honest, Peter pulled his usual trick and said something when he probably should have just kept his mouth shut. But then Jesus said we had to wash each other's feet, like he was trying to set an example to each of us or something. But before we could even start to think about what that might mean for each of us, Jesus spoke of betrayal. That one of us, his followers, would betray him. We literally could do nothing but stare at each other. We were at a loss to know which of us he meant. At that point, Peter signaled us and asked me to ask Jesus who it was going to be as I was sat next to him. So I did, and Jesus said to me, watch, it'll be the one who I give this piece of bread to that I have dipped in a bowl of wine. And as I watched, he dipped this piece of bread in wine and he handed it to. He handed it to Judas. And I didn't know what to say. He was the man that we trusted with all the money. I just didn't understand. But then Jesus said to him in front of everybody else, what you do, do quickly. And he left the room immediately. But I could tell that the others were unaware what Judas had been instructed to do. If this wasn't enough to take in, Jesus seems to forget that he had just said what he had just said and moves on to teach about the Son of Man being glorified, just as he'd done before with the crowds a few days earlier. He then says the words that none of us wanted to hear. I will be with you a little while longer. You may seek me, but where I am going, you cannot come. This is the last thing we wanted to hear. We had given up so much to follow, to be part of what was happening. We felt like it was something worth giving up everything for, and now we were going to be left with nothing. But he carried on, and he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then guess what happened? Peter interrupted again. Something about, why can't I follow? I will lay my life down for you. I want to go where you go. I am your bestest buddy ever. Then for the second time in the evening, Jesus warned that another disciple would betray him. Love one another. Judas had already left. Peter is going to deny Jesus three times in the next few hours. Doesn't look particularly hopeful, does it? But we know what happened. We know that Jesus was right and that Judas did betray him to the Jewish leaders. And that hours later, Peter did deny knowing Jesus three times. But we also know, as followers and as Christians, that the Son of Man was glorified. That he was obedient, and by being killed and buried, but then rising again, he shows us that the words that he had spoken were true. And because of this, our relationship with God was restored and reformed. The glory of all that Jesus had done was for the glory of God. But what about that new commandment? What about the idea of loving one another? Well, one of the main things that we know about it is it's not really a new command, as it is deeply rooted in the Old Testament, in the laws that were given to Moses for the nation of Israel and how to lead a holy and pleasing life to God. So why does Jesus bring it up to his disciples in his final hours? could be because of the context in which he's in, the context of the betrayals that he was about to face, that he knew he was about to face. He's asking his disciples to display steadfast love. Love that stands up when push comes to the shove. A reminder that even though he is about to be betrayed, this is not the end. And at some point, the message that he is going to give his followers will not be, I am going, but you cannot follow. But will be, let me take you to where I've been. Let me show you what I have for you in heaven. Let me show you that I've been sat at the right-hand side of the Father, your God. Because this is where Jesus is, at the right-hand side of the Father, testifying for us so that we can be in a genuine, life-saving relationship with God. But we also know that during this time, we've not been left alone. But we've been sent a helper who helps, prompts, guides, and directs our decisions when we allow space for it to move. The Holy Spirit was sent to assist us in our everyday lives while we're here on earth. And this passage reminds us that during this time, while we are here on earth, we are to display a love towards each other that is the same as the love that has been shown to us. A love that will demonstrate to this world that we are different. And that difference is that we are followers of Jesus. But this isn't the only time that Jesus mentions this commandment to his disciples in the hours leading up to his death. Once we had left the upper room in John 15, Jesus tells his disciples an extended metaphor. He tries to tell them as a story what this looks like. And then he goes on to explain it to them, as he did in so many instances. Here we see the commandment to love each other is mentioned again. And verse 12 says, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you." I really like earlier in this passage how Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, I will also love you." But I'm not sure I like the verse, or like this verse, as much. I can try to love you, but to love you as much as Jesus loved me is beyond my and your and our natural ability. He loved us when we were unlovely, and we are called to model this kind of love. But how are we to do this in a world that seems adamant on hating each other, on judging people and putting people in boxes? Well, in verse 15, we read, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And this is how we are to show love to each other. Not to view ourselves as higher or closer to God, or an equal or better than others. But we're to live a life that demonstrates friendship towards each other. We currently live in a world that is full of destruction, inequality, and hostility. Imagine the difference that could be made if each of us committed to following this command that Jesus had given us. Yesterday, some of you may have seen this, but a story was published about a family who spent 17 years traveling around the world. Anyone fancy traveling 17? Just being able to travel around the world? 17? I quite fancy it. I think it'd be quite good. The parents were called Herman and Claudia Zapp. They're both originally from Argentina. They gave up their jobs and set out on a six-month trip to Alaska. But their traveling didn't stop there, and they've spent the last 17 years on the road. They've had four children along the way, all born in different countries. They travel around in a 1928 Graham Page car, which you can see in the pictures. That has a maximum speed limit of 40 miles an hour. No wonder it's taken them 17 years. So they're never going to travel anywhere fast. The children sleep in a roof tent. They're all homeschooled. And their seats collapse to make a bed for the parents. But why do I tell you this? Well, a few days ago, the Zapp family arrived in Scotland, apparently searching for the Loch Ness Monster. Don't know if they found it. What they have said is that they are overwhelmed by the kindness that they have seen from the Scottish people. They are staying with a host family, one of more than 2,500 hosts and kind strangers who have opened their homes to them along their 17-year journey. And also during their time in Scotland, their car had a broken windshield and two broken wheels that needed welding. And all of this work was completed by strangers for them for free. If as a nation we can be known for being kind and willing to serve others when they are in need, why as Christians can't we be known for loving each other and those around us? For each of us, this will look different. We are in different workplaces and communities. We interact with different people from different situations. We come from different backgrounds. But here, Jesus doesn't just ask this of us, but he commands it. He commands us to love one another, just as he has loved each of us who call ourselves his followers. A tough command, I know, but one that we should be striving to complete each and every day. Francis Schaeffer believes that the teaching that we are looking at tonight is the defining mark of a Christian. He believes that at the center of Jesus' ministry, Jesus looks forward to his death on the cross, the open tomb and the ascension. Knowing that he is about to leave, Jesus prepares his disciples for what is to come. It's here that he makes it clear what will be this distinguishing mark of the Christian. To show love to one another just as we, the followers of Jesus, have been shown through the actions of Jesus on a cross. So if we are saying that we want to learn from these teachings, that we want to understand what it is to be followers of Jesus, to be in a more intimate and loving relationship with him, we're going to use these teachings to do that, then we need to be willing to understand that to love each other is part of who we are. It's part of our Christian DNA. And for each of you in this room, that will look different. For each of you hearing that story again, you'll be thinking of different people and places and situations where maybe you haven't shown that love, or maybe where you need to show more of that love. So as the band come back on to the platform this evening, I'm going to ask if each of you could stand with me. And what we're going to do is we're just going to spend a few moments in silence thinking about that command to love one another. Thinking about who is it that needs to see that we are different. In what situations do we need to show love and the defining mark that we are Christians? And who is it that we need to be showing more love to, and in what situations is that? So Father, we thank you that you've given us this very clear command. Father, we thank you that you've first shown us this love through sending your son, Jesus. We thank you that that means that we can be in an unrestricted relationship with you. Father, that barrier has been broken down. And Father, as we think about the people that you've placed in our lives, the situations that you've put us in, Father, help us to remember this command. Help us to allow this to draw us into a deeper, a more intimate relationship with you. Father, personally, but also as a church and as a nation. Father, we thank you for all of these things. Amen.